Like Jeff said, it is my pleasure to come up and give the message this morning. Please pray with me. Precious Lord, you know I'm no good at this, but you are. So I ask that I would disappear and you would appear, Lord. My words would be your words, and they would encourage, enlighten, and bless the people that you've created, Lord. In your precious name, amen. As young Christians, we pray for things. As mature Christians, we pray for character changes. That's how you can tell the difference. You know, Roland had a laundry list this morning, and I'm sure he does, but most of it are not for him. That's how you can tell your maturity. You know, we, as young people, clothing is a very important thing. So we pray for clothing, something to impress someone else. Who are we impressing? Stop and think about that. Are we impressing God with what we wear? He made it all. He made those gorgeous roses out front. So you're going to impress him? You can come on in, brother. It's all right. Anyway, I'm going to tell you what God says about clothing. He says, our clothing, which represents our righteousness, are of filthy rags. So when you read that in the Bible where it says our righteousness is of filthy rags, we all sit there and just never really kind of got that. Well, that represents our righteousness. Jesus will give us white robes. That represents our righteousness. So as we take off our filthy rags and put on our white robes as we believe in the Lord. 1 Corinthians says, the Spirit gives all gifts. If we say the Spirit dwells in us, then we have these gifts. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Now that's a lot, and I'd be here till next week preaching on all of them, which I'd be standing here alone, I'm sure. So I'd just like to work on a couple of them this morning. The first one is joy. These are gifts that the Lord gives to us. When we accept the Holy Spirit, we accept these gifts. They come with it. It's part of the package. When we start to believe in Jesus, then we start to get these things. First Chronicles says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10, it says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Psalms 5:11, but let all who take refuge in the Lord be glad, and let them sing for joy. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. It says, Jesus gives us the joy that the world cannot take away. Stop and think about that. The world tries to take it every day. You have to give it away. Nobody comes up and steals it. You give it away. You can hold on to it. It's up to you. The next gift I'd like to talk about is love. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. And it is not proud. We can run through that in a hurry. You know, the patience part, we can kind of get along with that. the kind part, that's kind of stretching it a little bit, because Jesus was a really good sport and we're not. So it says love waits, but love cares for the person it's expressed to. It says love does not envy others. You know, when you go home today, the first thing you're going to see on the TV is you should have, you should buy, you deserve. Your neighbor has one, you should have one. No, that's not how it works. You know what? If you have two of them, give one to your neighbor. That's what Jesus says. It's up to you how you want to live. But the Lord says, my way is the best way. Because if you have two and you give one away, I'll give you three more. It doesn't make sense in this world. God never has to make sense. He never said he would make sense. He said that his ways are not our ways. The best definition of love I've ever heard is love does something and expects nothing in return. Now stop and think about that. God gave us his son and expects nothing back from us, except just to believe what he told us, that he did give us his son. It says, love does not belittle others, and love is not proud. Pride is one of the easiest things for the devil to sneak in on us. It's very easy to be prideful. I have something that you don't. That makes me better than you, right? No. If I have something and you need it and I don't give it to you, then whose fault is it? It's mine. If I have extra of anything, it should be given away. Kathy's probably sitting there saying, good, he's going to finally get the junk out of the house. Well, I wouldn't go that far. But that's it. I don't love him that much. But that's what Jesus said. Hey, if you see someone in need, give it to them. If you see someone in need of, a couple weeks ago I preached and I said, you know, if somebody cuts you off on the parkway, then you should pray for that person. Well, that's a person in need of mercy. That's a person in need of grace. So you should be praying for those people. Plus, it gives you an opportunity to talk to God about someone. And there's nothing he likes better than you talking to him about his creation. Peace is another one. Jesus says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, but the peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace of knowing God is in your control. It's up to you. You can keep that peace. You can give that peace away. Situations do not determine us as Christians. How we handle those situations determines how we are as Christians. Isaiah 54:10 says, the mountains will move, but not my peace. That's God's promise. He says, you can no longer lose that peace anymore than you can move these mountains. It's up to you what you do with these gifts. You can take these gifts that God gives you, share them with others, or you can try to hold on to them and watch the world steal them away. You know, I'd like to share a couple stories this morning. Say you were born 40 years after the Egyptian captivity. Well, everyone knows that the Egyptian captivity, according to the Old Testament, was supposed to be 400 years. God told the people from the start, it will be 10 generations. Okay, so you're born 40 years after the captivity. That means for your entire life, whether it be 1 year, 2 years, 20 years, 80 years, you'll be a slave all your life. That's what God has decided for you. Wow. That's when you have to stop and think, what did I do wrong? And that's a lot of times how we feel here. What did I do wrong that you put me here? You know, say you're just your average Joe that's going to make bricks for 80 years. You know, that's rather depressing. It really is. And then you stop and think, God, if you love me, why did you have me born at this time? You know what? You're not making bricks 24 hours a day. The Egyptians wanted you to make more little brick makers. So they gave you a wife. It's not as bad as it seems. You can be the happiest brick maker in the world. You can smile while you make the bricks, or you can frown while you make the bricks. But the bottom line is, the Egyptians say you're going to make the bricks. Sometimes we feel like we're nothing more than a cog in this giant machine. But that's not what God sees. He sees you as part of the people who make this world turn. The Bible is not full of people who sit on their backside waiting on something to happen. It's full of people who made things happen. Who, when God spoke to them, they acted. They acted with joy and peace and love. They were God's witnesses. You know, you walk into work Monday morning as Joe and you're the happiest brickmaker there. You're the greatest witness for God because you know what's coming. You know God has decided you'll be a brickmaker all your life and you're happy with it. You've made peace with it. You have joy with it. You know you're not going to make bricks forever. You know that you're making bricks for 80 years. You know that heaven lasts forever. You know, last Monday, I was bound and determined that I was going to get my bike out. It was going to happen. I don't care what I had to do. It was going to happen. Well, lo and behold, I'm riding down Route 51, and it started to sprinkle a little bit. Well, as I sat at the red light, it poured. It flat out poured. And I sit there and got soaked, waiting on the red light. And this young gentleman pulled up beside me in a minivan and looked over at me as to say, boy, it really stinks to be you. And you know what? He was right. It is no fun sitting in the middle of the street getting soaked because the world sees you getting soaked. But I thought to myself, you know, I can be happy about this. I can be miserable about this. So I just looked over and I smiled at the gentleman. And he looked at me like I had three heads. But you know what? I remember when I went through motorcycle school in California, I remember what a CHP officer said. No matter how many people pull out in front of you, disrespect you on your motorcycle, no matter how much rain pelts you as you go down the road, always remember, somewhere, somebody's driving a minivan. And when he pulled up beside me, I thought to myself, you know what? You're right. I'm sitting here getting soaked. But tomorrow the sun will shine. And I will ride my motorcycle and put the wind in my face. And you'll still be driving that minivan. I mean, I wasn't being proud about this, but the truth of it is, that's the way you have to look at it. You know, God puts you a certain place, and you're going to be there. Accept where you're at. Be happy where you're at. Make peace where you're at. It's so easy to slip into depression. Oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. You know, maybe God was trying to make me a better motorcycle rider. Maybe God was trying to teach me a lesson. That, hey, just because you say it's not going to rain, hey, I have a little different idea and I control the weather and you don't. Perseverance is something God values because perseverance builds faith. And I wish I could have told that gentleman sitting next to me, you know what? You know the reason I'm smiling? Because I know that God will get me home. I may be soaked when I get there, but he'll make sure I get home. And that's the same thing with Joe the Brickmaker. He knows that this world is just for a little while, and he believes that there's a better thing coming. And through his faith, through his peace, through his joy, he has showed other people that God is for real. And ain't that what we're about? To be witnesses in our everyday lives. Not just Sunday morning. So like I said, I heard of a motorcyclist who was killed this week. And that's a tragic thing, it really is. And I remember this chip officer telling us, anytime it's a car and a motorcyclist involved in anything, the motorcyclist loses. That's just the way it is. But we don't have that. You know what? The worst thing that God can do is send me to heaven. That's the worst that can happen. That's faith right there. Please pray with me. Precious Lord, let us look at life through joyful eyes, with peace in our hearts, Lord, with love for you in our hearts, Lord. Help us to look at each day as an opportunity to witness for you, to show this world that our perseverance is from your strength, not ours. Because when we're at rock bottom, Lord, you're the rock we stand on. Lord, be with us this week and help us to always look at things as a test of our faith to glorify you. And as the song says, when the pressure is on, he's making diamonds. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hey, how are you? Some people have no choice. I guess you used to have the kids on their mother's own.
Thank you, Wayne. You know, it's odd. As I sat in that traffic yesterday for 2.5 hours, I was becoming frustrated. I'm like, God, why? And I want to start whining and complaining. And I said, well, and I just stopped. I said, Lord, whatever. You know what you're doing. You know what? And I see why I sat in the traffic for 2.5 hours so Wayne can give that message. And I appreciate it. God knows exactly what he's doing. And I remind you all again to look up here at that verse. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in the future. And I remind you what the verse before it says. You're going into captivity for 70 years. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I know exactly what I'm doing. I love you. Trust me, is what he's saying, no matter what it looks like. 70 years in Scripture is a lifetime. You are going into captivity for a lifetime. I'm sending you there. I want you there because it's good for you. And that is the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Thank you, Wayne. That's a beautiful message.